You know, so that would be like a web address. And then if I wanted to do something, I would just type
Ray Zielinski of Hamburg lost his sight at the age of one. Now, in his 20s, Zielinski uses computer technology to conduct his work. Voice activation guides him to work online.
You know, if I was at home and I was like, oh, I want to listen, you know, WBFO, I would just type it in the search box, press enter, go to the top of the page, because that's always where you want to orientate yourself. And then just, you know, a couple of
Zielinski received his early childhood education at Olmsted.
What this agency has done for me is since early childhood, the early education program, the preschool program that we run here, I was involved with that. Since pretty much 2.5, I think, and that was, you know, the starting age for the preschool. And that was a precursor to my parents were like, you know, how is he going to ever get into mainstream school? How does he, you know, we've never had a blind child before. How is he going to get around? How is he going to function? And then the early education program was a precursor to the rest of my life.
Olmsted is where Zielinski learned how to use a cane and read and write with Braille. By the time he was ready for grade school, Zielinski was reading and writing at a second grade level.
And then in my teenage years, Olmsted provided me with several employment opportunities over the summer to get me some work experience, a little bit of touch into the professional world.
But along the way, Zielinski remained a client of Olmsted, teaching him how to navigate in his school buildings. Zielinski attended college. Then last year, he became an employee at Olmsted, where he now serves as a job coach at the Statler Center, a national program partnering with Olmsted here in Buffalo.
What is the biggest concern when people are experiencing visual problems and blindness for the first time as adults, and you've already experienced it as a young child? How do you help them?
Self-confidence, I'd say, is number one. Self-confidence and motivation. When somebody just loses their vision, they've lost their world. They don't know where to go. They're completely distraught and are unsure how they could ever function in a workforce ever again.
Being independent and working all my life, it really made me have to sit back and say, you know, get over through my pity party about not working anymore and not being independent. And now coming here, I've had the ability to be to re-enter the workforce and become independent again.
Karen Moore of Buffalo is legally blind. She suffers from diabetes and lost sight in one eye. Moore once worked in the mortgage industry but needed job retraining. She's now employed at the Statler Center through Olmsted, where she works on a contract for a lighting system.
I was referred here from the New York State Commission of the Blind. Prior to coming to Statler, I was really at home, really trying to go through the transition of figuring out what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Moore's co-worker, Scott Hinton, is from California. He's also blind and moved to Buffalo through the Statler Center's program at Olmsted.
I was diagnosed very young with a degenerative eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa.
In his 20s, Hinton was a construction worker. Then, as his eyesight began to fail, he worked at a call center for a bank. Now blind, he has a seeing eye dog.
I was fortunate to go all through elementary school, junior high, high school, and my early 20s without a lot of vision loss. I always had some, but I didn't have a lot of vision loss. And then as I progressed getting older, it started getting much, much worse. And by the time I was in my mid-30s, it was legally blind, if not almost totally blind.
One of the biggest problems facing people with visual impairments is employment and employers willing to hire those individuals.
Tammy Owen is president and CEO of the organization. Olmsted's work with the Statler Center means students are being recruited from all over the country, even worldwide, who can't find work because they're blind.
Given the fact that only 35% of individuals that are legally blind have employment, I think we can clearly say that they are not given the opportunity that they deserve. I certainly can't cite any specific cases of discrimination, but I know that there's a fear in hiring individuals with impairments.
Owen says given the spectrum of vision loss, she believes many more in our community could benefit from the services at the center.
Knowing that there's over 20,000 seniors with a vision impairment that's impacting their ability to live independently, and we're only seeing about 2,000 individuals a year, there's a big gap.
The Olmsted Center for Sight provides up to 10 programs and services.
A lot of people think of us as the former Western New York Blind Association. And yes, we formerly were that, but low vision it's the spectrum of visual impairments can run the gamut, and we're here to help, you know, anyone and everyone.
Maura Duggan is the public relations and communications specialist at the center. She gave a tour of the low vision clinic, where one of only two low vision optometrists in this area work.
Our examinations are 45 minutes versus most doctor's visits are, you know, 15 to 30 minutes. But you're getting a very thorough examination and then consultation as well.
This center includes plenty of high-tech computers with magnification for reading, and even a kitchen to train in daily living skills.
So that you know where 350 degrees is, or where the number 5 or the starting button is for your microwave. So that, you know, when you're on your own, if you want to cook up some chicken or an omelet, you can absolutely do that. But then obviously there are technical skills, like how do you cut safely if you can't see or if your vision is low? You know, how to use your smartphone to time cooking times.
The mission of Olmsted Center for Sight is to provide a high level of self-sufficiency, promoting an independent lifestyle for those who can't see. Eileen Buckley, WBFO News.